Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our shir. Today, this morning, for Parshas Vayigash, I would like to speak about something which is it's sort of a combination of a halacha and a musar topic, but it's very relevant in halacha, and it's somewhat connected to yesterday's parsha because the Torah tells us that at the end of Parshas Miketz and the beginning of Parshas Vayigash, so when Yosef, prior to revealing his identity, so when Yosef demanded that Binyamin come down to Mitzrayim, his brother Binyamin, so Yaakov Avinu was very reluctant to do so, and Yehuda took responsibility. Yehuda said, Anochi Ervenu. Yehuda said that I will be responsible for him. He pleaded with Yaakov that please allow Binyamin to come down. Anochi Ervenu, I will be the Orev. I will be the person who's responsible for him. And then we find again in yesterday's Parshas Vayigash, that he said, Ki avdecha Orev es hanar, that he, when he was talking to Yosef and pleading with Yosef that he should be taken in exchange for Binyamin, so he said, because I guaranteed the safe return of Binyamin. So we find, the Chazal speak about in Halacha, the concept of an Orev. An Orev means a person who takes responsibility for something else, for someone else's action. Now, the common halachic case of Orev that people might be familiar with is in the business realm, in the Inyanim of Mekach u'Memkar, when it comes to business dealing. So oftentimes it happens that a person goes for a loan and the lender is hesitant to extend the loan because he's concerned that the person who wants it may not be able to pay back. So they ask for a cosigner. They ask for somebody to come and a guarantor. Someone should guarantee the payment in case the lender can't pay it. So this is what's called in halacha an arev, and there are different types of arev in halacha. And a person who does in fact sign on and agree to be a cosigner on a loan is a guarantor. So it's not just a game that has binding halachic relevance, and if the person who borrowed the money cannot pay it back, so then you go to the arev. There are different types of arev in halacha. You have the typical arev is where the cosigner, the guarantor, accepts secondary responsibility, meaning that the first person you go after is the one who actually borrowed the money. However, there is also a situation in halacha called an arev kablon. An arev kablon means that he accepts primary responsibility. I mean, you can go after him just as well. You don't have to wait until the creditor defaults. If the lender, for some reason, feels that it's easier for him to go after the guarantor, then in an arev kablon situation, he can go after him first. He could choose to determine who he wants to go after. So these are the different types of arev in halacha. You have the regular arev and you have the arev kablon. There's also a potential situation where a person can become an arev and say that you go after me before you go after the person who borrowed the money. That's rare, but these are the different situations in arev and dine mominus. Okay, in monetary cases. However, that's not what I wanted to speak about today, but rather I'd like to speak about the concept of arev as it applies to mitzvahs. We have a principle in halacha, it's a well-known saying, that kol Yisrael arevim zeh lazeh, that all Jews are responsible, bear a certain responsibility, a spiritual responsibility towards each other. Kol Yisrael arevim zeh lazeh, this is not just a nice saying, or was, I believe, made into a song, right? But this has something which has halachic relevance, as we will see right now. If you look on the sheet, the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah, on Daf Chav Tes Amid Aleph, okay, so all the way it's underlined on the bottom of the page, the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, Tani Ava Breder of Zera. So we have here a Braisa that was said over, Kol HaBrachos Kulon, that when it comes to all the brachos that a person can possibly recite, afal pi sheyotza motzi, even though a person has already been yotzei this bracha, he already made the bracha himself, nevertheless, he can still say it on behalf of somebody else. Now, just for purposes of clarification, let's understand what this means. We're all familiar with the fact that a person can say a bracha to somebody else. This happens commonly on Shabbos, let's say a Kiddush. So the head of the household makes Kiddush, and everyone else assembled at the table, they all have a chiyuv to say Kiddush. Right, every single person. It's not just one person in the house that has to say Kiddush. Every person is a mitzvah in the Torah. Zacharis Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosh, every person has to say Kiddush. But the fact of the matter is that we have a rule in Halacha called Shomea Ka'oneh. And that is that if you hear somebody say a bracha and you have in mind that you want to be Yotzei with that bracha, so then it's as if you said it yourself. Shomea, hearing it, is Ka'oneh, as if you said it yourself. And that's the way it works with the Kiddush. That's the way it works with the Hamotzi. Also, same thing. Every person has to say the Bracha Hamotzi. Typically, the Lecha Mishnah, the two loaves of bread are put down in front of one person, and he says the Bracha on behalf of everybody. So this is the Bracha, this is the concept that's called Shomea Ka'oneh. Now, that we all know, and it comes up many, many, many scenarios where we have this. Okay, the thing though is that in these types of situations, the person who is saying the bracha needs to say the bracha himself. The person needs to say the bracha himself. For example, in the case of Kiddush, so the person who's making Kiddush has to make Kiddush. So once he's saying the Kiddush for himself, he can go ahead and say it on behalf of other people too, because, he's doing the mitzvah himself. And he has in mind, not just for himself, but also for them. And they have in mind that they want to fulfill their obligation by listening. So we invoke this halachic principle of Shomea Ka'oneh, that listening to something with the intent that you want it to be for, I want it to be for myself. If I listen to something, it's as if I said it myself. It's as if I said it myself. Okay? This is a well-known rule. Now, the question comes up, but what about if the person who's saying the bracha doesn't need to say it for himself? In other words, let's say the person already said Kiddush. Let's say this would commonly happen on a Shabbos morning situation. So the husband goes to shul. Let's say the wife didn't go to shul. And in the shul, they had a Kiddush. So after davening, he went into the social hall, whatever, and they made a Kiddush. He made Kiddush himself, and he ate some cake or whatever it would be. So it was Kiddush B'Makom Suda. He did everything that he was supposed to do. So he fulfilled the requirement for Kiddush. So really, that person, when he comes back home, no longer needs to say Kiddush. He could start his meal with Hamotzi. He doesn't need to say, there's no mitzvah to say Kiddush again. You only have to say Kiddush once. You say it once Friday night, and once Shabbos day v'zehu. Right? It's not an additional mitzvah to say Kiddush five times. To the contrary, I said Kiddush already. Why should I say it again? So I was Yotze. But the thing is, his wife was not Yotze. So she could, if she wants, make the Kiddush for herself. But typically, people are more comfortable. It's a traditional way to do it, that the husband comes home and says Kiddush. Right? So can he do that or not? So here, the question is that he's saying the bracha and he doesn't need it for himself. He's saying this bracha exclusively for somebody else. So can you do that? You're saying a bracha which you don't need yourself. So maybe that constitutes a bracha of atala. Maybe this is a bracha for no reason. I don't need to say Kiddush anymore. So what am I saying the Kiddush again? This is a question. So to this issue, the Gemara here in Rosh Hashanah tells us that by all the brachas, a person can say it on behalf of somebody else, even though they already said it themselves. Even though they already said, they have already fulfilled the obligation, they could say it for somebody else. Okay? And the Gemara here says, the Braisa says, chutz mi birchas alechem u'birchas hayayin, with the exception of brachas on bread and on wine, which will be explained in a minute. Now, why is this true? So if you look at Rashi, it's underlined on the right side of the page. Rashi says, Afo pi shiyotza motzi, shaharei kol Yisrael arevim zeh bazeh l'mitzvahs. Because all Jews are responsible to each other for mitzvahs. Which means that if I have done a mitzvah, but my fellow Jew has not, so I'm not finished. It's not like I could walk away and say, okay, great, I took care of all my responsibilities. It's not true. I have responsibility towards him. I have to see to it that he does the mitzvah. So therefore, I have to try what I can. Obviously, you can't force people to do things. But I bear a responsibility towards this person. And therefore, should it be that this person needs me, can't say the bracha himself. He says, no, I don't say the bracha. He doesn't know how to say the bracha. So I'm going to say the bracha for him. So, but I already said this bracha. The halacha is you're allowed to do it. You're allowed to do it. This is Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazah. Okay, that all Jews have a responsibility one to the other, and therefore, what if he has not yet fulfilled his mitzvah, or she, and we'll see about that, if he or she has not fulfilled the mitzvah, so then I could say it for them. So says the Gemara. Where does this come from? So where does this come from? Everyone knows it's a very nice, a very beautiful idea, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazah. Where do we find this? So those familiar with the book of Yeshua, so we know that there was an incident that took place in the very beginning of the entry. It's not on the sheet, but there's an incident that took place when the Jews entered into Eretz Yisrael. So the first land that they were going to conquer, the first city, was Yericho. And we all know the story, the great miracle that the Yericho was a heavily fortified city, and the walls fell down and so forth, and there was a great conquest. Prior to the battle of Yericho, Yehoshua had instructed the Jewish people that nobody is allowed to take any of the spoils of Yericho. It's off limits. You can't take it. In other situations, maybe they were allowed, but not in this case. They were not allowed. They were told not to do it. And presumably, everybody followed suit. However, the Navi tells us that subsequent to that battle, the next city that they were going after was a place called Ai and Yud. And Yehoshua dispatched soldiers to conquer the city of Ai, and they were routed. They were defeated badly in the initial battle of Ai. So the question was, what's going on over here? Why should that happen here? Hashem had promised that you have nothing to worry about. So upon investigation, they found out that this was because the cherem that Yehoshua had made when they were going to Yericho was violated. Right? There was a man named Achan, okay, who was an interesting character, who had trouble accepting authority, and therefore he went ahead and violated the cherem, and he had taken from the spoils of Yericho. So the question, though, presented itself, so big deal, what is that? Why must everyone suffer because of him? So Hashem should go after him. He violated the rule. Nobody else did. So why was all of Klal Yisrael subjected to a defeat in the city, in the battle of Ai, just because of the misdeeds of one person? So to this extent, the Chazal say that this was because they were all responsible, that everybody was responsible for one person stepping out of line. How do we know this? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin quotes a pasuk that we have in the end of Parshas at the beginning of Parashat Nitzavim, that it says, Hanistaros Lashem Elokeinu Vaniglos Lanu Vanenu, right, that the Moshe Rabbeinu, before he passed away, entered the Klal Yisrael into a treaty with Hashem, a second bris, and the bris of Arvos Moav, and at that time, the Klal Yisrael accepted responsibility for Nistaros also, not just for the blatantly open things that were going on, but even for the hidden things. Meaning that if a Jew would go ahead and privately commit a sin, it became everybody's responsibility. Why? Presumably because of the fact that everybody's supposed to be mechazik. Each person is supposed to be mechazik each other. Every person is supposed to give strength to the next person. So therefore, you had a situation. If the person's going to do a sin, it's considered a collective guilt because we all have to be in this together, and we all have to try to influence each other to do the right thing. So interestingly enough, we find in the Gemara, the Gemara tells Masechta Sota the following. If you look here on side one, okay, so the just as a word of background, the Gemara in Sanhedrin mentions that this fellow Achan, who is notorious for having violated the cherem of Yehoshua in Yericho, so the Gemara tells us this was not his first offense. That actually Achan lived in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was from the Dor HaMidbar, and he had several times previously done such things. In other words, he had issues. He couldn't accept the authority. He could maybe liked the spoils of war. So there were several battles that Moshe Rabbeinu also issued a cherem that nobody should take from the spoils, and Achan violated those things too. So the question is: so then, why was it first now that they were punished? So the Gemara tells us here as follows. The Gemara tells us, I'm sorry, I should have underlined it, but it's about halfway halfway, two-thirds of the way down, there's an asterisk in the Gemara here in Sota. It's, let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8 lines from the bottom. The Gemara says, Otam Bayardin, that when the Jewish people were crossing the Yarden, when they were crossing the Jordan River, which was a miraculous time, right? They were entering into Eretz Yisrael, and the waters of the Yarden split in a similar manner to the way the Yom Suf had split years earlier. So it says that when they were in the Yarden, Amalem Yoshua, so Yoshua said to them, Du'u alma atem over mesayarden. He said, he gave a little pep talk in the middle of the Yarden. Imagine everyone standing there in the middle of this incredible event, right? The water's split, everyone's dry, okay? And Yeshua decided it's time to have a little team meeting. So he says, you should just know like this, the reason why we're entering into Eretz Yisrael is to conquer it. This is supposed to be the Jewish homeland, this is supposed to be our place, Hashem is giving us. And therefore, everyone has to understand that we're going in for this reason. We're going in for this reason. And therefore, he said to them, he said, Almanasha Tarishu es Yoshvei Haaretz Mipneichem, Shenemar Vahorashtem es Kol Yoshvei Haaretz Mipneichem. He said, this is what we're doing. And Yoshua continued and said, Im Atem Osin Kein Mutav, if you go along with this, then everything will be good for us. However, he said, V'im Lav, but if not, Boin Mayin V'shotfin Osichem. If not, then water is the water that has split around us. If you don't agree to this arrangement, the water that has split around us is going to come back right now and drown us. Osichem. Osichem, the unusual word. It doesn't mean usually that, it sounds like that word means you people. However, it's a very strange word. Osichem sounds like the word osi, me, and eschem, you. What does that mean? So the Gemara says that he said like this, my osichem, osi ve'eschem. The water is going to, if you don't agree, the water is going to come back on me and you. Meaning Yeshua said that if you don't agree, then I'm going to drown too. Now why is Yeshua going to drown? He's the tzaddik. Well, he's not, he has no problem with this. But what was he worried about? He's worried that they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to go into Eretz Canaan, and people are going to decide after, okay, one or two battles they're going to fight. And then they'll say, okay, it's good enough. What do we need the rest of it for? Let's just take it easy. Right? We already have more than we bargained for. We have a much better situation we had in Mitzrayim. Right? So, you know, and we have a nice place to live. So let's just, why put up with the whole fight? It was not easy to capture, many years to conquer Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, he was afraid that they're going to lose their resolve. So Yoshua said to them, this is the only choice. And if not, we're all doomed, including myself. So what do you mean, including myself? So from this, the Chazal derive that the arrangement of Arvus, right, if you look here at the Tosfos on the top left of the page, the second Tosfos on the page, Olden B'yarden, Amalem Yoshua, Amar Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish says, he quotes, this is a quote from the Yerushalmi, that B'yarden Kibu Alein As Hanistoros, that this arrangement that Jews accepted mutual spiritual responsibility for each other was in the Yarden. In other words, not prior to that. Even though Moshe had already discussed this. This was Moshe's deal. It wasn't like Yeshua made this up. Moshe Rabbeinu had spoken about it. It's in the Torah and Parshas Nitzavim. However, the deal did not go into effect until they were crossing the Yarden. Well, at that point, that's when all of a sudden this deal came into play, and that's what Yeshua was saying to them. No more monkey business. The fact that Achan, in other words, it could be, it was known that Achan had already done stuff previously, but all right, they were able to, they could survive. You know, everyone got away with it because, okay, right now it's not binding. But Yoshua said, the game's over at this point. That now, we have to bear down. Now, the arrangement of Nistaros, that we're responsible for each other, now goes into effect. This is what it says. So, this is the concept of Kol Yisrael Arei V'Mzeilos. It's not just a nice saying that, you know, people hang up on the wall. You know, you go into the elementary schools in the hallway, they put up all these nice slogans, Piskamim, right? These very nice sayings, you know, all the cheerful ideas. So you have Kol Yisrael Arei V'Mzeilos. That is a halachic issue. This is a serious halachic issue that a person is responsible. And therefore, it would come out In other words, much in the same way that a person is physically responsible, we've spoken about this in the past, the idea of, samad al dam reyecha, that if you see a Jew in physical danger, you have to help him, or a Jew in any sort of danger like that, you have to do whatever you can to help them. So it applies spiritually just as well. It applies spiritually, you have to go ahead and do something. You have to, and if you see a person, so this whole idea, you know, that of the, today it's very popular, Baruch Hashem, and the idea of Kiruv and so forth, this is not a new, it may be a relatively new movement to the Klal Yisrael, but it's, the concept is a very old concept. The concept is something, there's a chiv. There's a chiv, a person has to do what he can. He can't just sit by. If a person sees other Jews who are not holding up, you know, holding up for whatever reason, but sometimes it's very often in our times because they have no education, no one ever told them otherwise. But you can't just sit by and let that go. A person has to try to do what they can, whatever is possible. Sometimes you can't do anything. But sometimes you have to. I was just the other day, I was speaking to someone. A woman was telling me that a woman who I assume to be not Jewish, was telling me that she and her husband observe the Catholic holidays this time of the year. She said, but it's interesting because my great grandmother was Jewish. She said I gulped, you know. So then she says to me, but I know there are people who say that therefore I would be Jewish too. But we have chosen, she said my grandmother, this Jewish grandmother married a non-Jew, and you know whatever. So therefore we were raised this way, and this is the way we lead our lives. Okay, it's very sad. What do you say in a situation like that? It's very difficult. So I had nothing to say. I didn't know what the right thing to say was. So I just let it go. But the fact of the matter is that you have a lot of times, situation like that, it's okay. Maybe it's not so easy to do anything. But there are a lot of times where somebody could do something if only a person cares. So therefore, this is a requirement. This is the din of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelozeh. Okay, that's the basic concept. From a mystical standpoint, we have in the Sefer Tomer Devorah, which was written by Rav Moshe Kotavera, one of the contemporaries of the Beis Yosef, one of the contemporaries of Rav Yosef Karo, a great Kabbalist who lived in Tzfat in the end of the 16th century. So he writes that all of the Jewish souls are like one body, and they're all connected. And therefore, there's a piece in every Jew is a piece of every other Jew. And therefore, there's like a little presence in the inside of every Jew for everyone else. And therefore, a person, he says this as far as this halacha is concerned, that a person can't say that I already fulfilled the halacha, so that's it. Because it's not true, because part of you is a piece of everybody else. So what about them? What about them? They haven't done the mitzvah yet. So this is the idea that we have. It's a very powerful and meaningful idea. But what I would like to discuss is an area where it impacts in halacha. Okay, so we have the Mishnah returning now to the halacha that we saw in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara tells us that it comes out that a person can say a bracha, even a bracha that they have already fulfilled for somebody else, if that person can't say it. If that person cannot say it. Okay, so therefore, for example, if on the Rosh Hashanah, okay, I happen to come across a Jewish man who has not yet heard the shofar, and he didn't go to shul, whatever, he couldn't make it to shul, let's say. Okay, and I come, he's not well, I come to his house, and I'm going to blow the shofar for him. So that he has a chiyuv tekiyah shofar, he has to say the bracha. Right, he should say the bracha. Now let's say the person says, I don't know how to say a bracha. I don't know how to say the bracha. So I'm allowed to say the bracha for him. Even though you say, well, how could I say the bracha? I already blew the shofar. I already heard the tekiah shofar today. So the bracha on tekiah shofar is just for the mitzvah. I already fulfilled the mitzvah. So this bracha at this point is irrelevant to me. Nevertheless, the halacha is that I can say it on behalf of that person because of the fact that that person has a chiv, and that person's chiv is my chiv. Now, why did I give the example if you meet a Jewish man? Because if you met a Jewish woman, there would be a different issue in this case. Why? Because of the fact that since women are absolved from the mitzvah shazman grama, a mitzvah saseh, which is time relegated, a woman does not have to fulfill. So therefore, if I met a Jewish woman who had not yet heard the shofar, so for me to say the bracha for her would not be a simple thing because of the fact that she doesn't have the obligation to say the bracha herself because she doesn't have to hear the shofar. If a Jewish woman went Rosh Hashanah, didn't hear the shofar, she didn't do any sin. Right? The common practice today is that women try to hear the shofar and they go to shul, etc., etc. And even if a woman who's ill and can't make it to shul, people try to blow the shofar for them. But that's really just in a certain sense, a midas chasidus. That's an act of piety. That's not a halachic obligation because the woman doesn't have to do that mitzvah. Okay, if a woman couldn't, she couldn't. That's all. So that being the case, I could not say the bracha for her because of the fact she has no chiyuv. So you can't use this, or you can't invoke the principle that I'm responsible for her because it's true. I'm responsible, but she's not responsible. So therefore, if she doesn't have the chiyuv, then I can't say it for her. And this is in fact the halacha that in such a situation, the woman should say the bracha herself. Even though you'll say, how could she say a bracha if she has no chiyuv? That's a different discussion. The Ashkenazic practice is that women say brachas on mitzvahs that they do voluntarily. In other words, a time relegated mitzvah asay, a positive mitzvah that a woman is putter from, such as tekiyah shofar, such as shaking a lulav, such as eating in a sukkah. A woman does not have to do any of these mitzvahs. Nevertheless, the Ashkenazic practice is that if a woman chooses to do so, she could say the bracha. And therefore, women commonly, before they shake a lulav, say the bracha. Okay? Sfaradim do not agree with this. This is a discussion of Tosfos and Maseches Kedushin. It's a big argument between Tosfos and the Rambam. But the fact of the matter is that the Sfaradic practice, women do not do it. Ashkenazic practice is that women do, in fact, say the bracha. But that's just a right that they have. But that should extend to me to say that even though I don't need the bracha, I could say it for her. That already you can't do. That you can't do, yes.
And similarly to the woman, that there's no chiyuv of
harvest. No, so one second. So the question, yes, I'm going to get to that. I'm going to get it right now. So this is the basic thing. Now, returning to what we saw in Rosh Hashanah, if you recall, the Gemara said that you could do this by brachas, but not by brachas on bread and wine. Why not by brachas on bread and wine? So the way the Mefarshim explained that this is because we know there are different groupings of brachas. You have certain brachas of brachas on mitzvah, a bracha that's said on a mitzvah, like lighting a menorah. We just had lighting Shabbos candles, sitting in a sukkah, etc. Then you have brachas which are birchas hanen, and a bracha that's said for a benefit, the pleasure that a person gets, right? So such as a bracha that's said on food, right? It's not the only, you also say for other things, say for a pleasant smell, etc. But let's say commonly, the bracha on food. Now the bracha on food is a bracha which is considered in a certain sense optional. What do you mean it's optional? Not that you don't have to say it, but you don't have to eat the food in the first place. In other words, I chose to eat the food. So once I choose to eat the food, I have to say a bracha, but I could just as well have chosen not to eat the food. So in a situation like that, the Chazal felt that this rule does not apply. That this rule, Kol Yisrael or Eivim Zeh L'Zeh, does not apply because it was not a total pure obligation on the person who's saying the bracha. In other words, if I'm blowing shofar for a man on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, either day of Rosh Hashanah, I'm blowing shofar for a man, so he has the chiyuv to hear the shofar and he has the chiyuv to say the bracha. So then I can say the bracha for him. But if it's something where it's situational, meaning it's only because I entered into this that I have to say the bracha, such as with eating food. So in such a case, the halacha is that you can't say the bracha for them. So therefore, this comes up commonly. If you have a situation, you're eating, let's say you're eating a donut, okay? So you said the bracha bar minim mizonos, and now somebody comes and wants to eat a donut, he doesn't know how to say the bracha. So you can't say the bracha for him. You cannot say the bracha for him because that bracha that he needs to make is, in a certain sense, a bracha that he brought upon himself. In other words, it's not the same level of obligation. I don't mean to imply that you don't have to say brachas, but what I'm saying is that it's not the same degree of obligation, and therefore that you cannot do. Okay. Now, just returning to the, just to get, if you'll ask, so what about Kiddush on Shabbos morning? So what's up with that? You'll say Friday night Kiddush. So the Kiddush consists of two brachas. You have the bracha Baruch Pri Hagafen and the bracha of Sher Kiddushanu Yom Mekadosh Shabbos. You have the bracha Kiddushas Hayom. So, but Shabbos morning, the whole Kiddush is Baruch Pri Hagafen. Right? So we say Pesukim in advance. That's just a custom. You would be also Kiddush even if you didn't say those Pesukim. Right, but the fact of the matter is that a person says the bracha bar priya gofen. Right, that's it. So the bar priya gofen is on wine. So if the bar priya gafen is on wine, so what can, does that also count as a bracha that you can't say for somebody else? And if so, then maybe a person can't say kiddush for his wife when he comes home from shul if he already made kiddush himself. Unless he's interested in drinking wine. But let's say I don't like wine. I happen not to like wine, okay? But I drink wine for kiddush. The mitzvah, I drink wine for kiddush. Fine. So I already made kiddush in shul. And now I come home and my wife didn't hear kiddush. So, but it's just on Shabbos morning, it's just the bracha bar priya gafen. So the halacha is, the Gemara says this, that since that bar priya gafen is part of the mitzvah of kiddush, so that becomes also like a birchas hamitzvah. So that's fine. In other words, the same thing would hold true by the Pesach Seder, the bracha al achilas matzah. Okay, so that's a birchas hamitzvah. But what about the bracha motzi lechem min haaretz? Right before you eat matzah on the night of Pesach, so you say two brachas. You say the bracha hamotzi lechem min haaretz, and then you say the bracha. That's the generic bracha, and then you say the bracha, the birchas hamitzvah al achilas matzah. Okay, so what happens if a person is saying that? Wants to say, let's say he already had matzah, whatever. You know, he invited someone to do a kiruv type of a thing. He invited someone not observant to come to the Seder, and they showed up after he already made the bracha on matzah. So now he wants to give them matzah, they should fulfill the mitzvah. He wants to say the bracha for them. So they don't know how to say any bracha. They can't say the bracha on matzah, they can't say the bracha on motzi. So that bracha you could say for them. That bracha you can say for them, even though strictly speaking, that bracha is a birchas hanenin, that's a bracha for pleasure, that's a bracha for eating. But in this case, that is a bracha that's part of the fulfillment of the mitzvah, so then you could do it as well. Okay, kiddush with mitzvah shezman grama. So the Gemara tells us in several places that there are certain exceptions to the rule of mitzvah shezman grama. So one of them, one of the notable ones, is kiddush. Right, kiddush on Shabbos is an exception. The Gemara says that based on the fact that Zohar and Shomar were said at the same time, right? And when Hashem gave the Torah in Har Sinai, so you have in the Aseres Hadibros the first time it says Zohar is Yom Shabbos Lakacho. Second time it says Shomar is Yom Shabbos Lakacho. So the Chazal tell us that Zohar and Shomar B'dibur Echad, that they were both said at the same moment. So based on that, you'll say, so who cares? So the Gemara says that based on this, we have a principle that they are considered united, and therefore whoever is obligated in one, in Shamar, is obligated in Zohar. And therefore, Shamar refers to the observance of the Malacha, staying away, refraining from doing Malacha on Shabbos. That's what Shomer is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho means. Zohar is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho means the positive mentioning of Shabbos. That's what Kiddush. So the Gemara says that Misha Yeshno B'Shomer Yeshno B'Shmiri Yeshno B'Shiri. The Gemara says that whoever has this responsibility of not violating Shabbos, which applies equally to women, because the rule of time-related mitzvahs only applies to positive mitzvahs. It doesn't apply negative mitzvahs. Okay, no, a woman can't eat chametz on Pesach with the excuse that, well, it's only 8 days a year, right? So that doesn't fly. Why not? Because this whole rule only applies to positive mitzvahs. Okay, so therefore, but the Gemara says that this, an exception would be kiddush. That's one exception. Another notable exception would be eating matzah on the night of Pesach, right? And the saying the Haggadah also would be because of the fact that similar drasha the Chazal made that whoever is not allowed to eat chametz also, based on a pasuk, that whoever is not allowed to eat chametz also must eat matzah. But this is what we have. So when it comes to kiddush, you have zachar v'shamar b'dibur echad, right? The fact that on Chododi it says it the reverse is because the author was trying to fit his initials in there, and his name was Shlomo, so he put the shin first. So it says shamar v'zachar b'dibur echad. But if you look in the Gemara, it says it the other way. It says zachar v'shamar b'dibur echad. So anyway, that's the understanding with kiddush. Okay. Now, comes along, this is the inyan of Arvus. Now, comes along, very interesting thing as it applies to women, comes up in the Gemara and Brachas. And just to preface this, if you turn to here to page 2, so we have the Gemara in Brachas that says as follows. Okay, by the way, what I just said about the Kiddush is right above, it's mentioned here in the Gemara, among other places, mentioned here in the Gemara, right above what I'm going to read from now. So if you see, I have it marked off, underlined. The Gemara asks the following question. Noshim bebirchas hamazon daraisa derabbanan. The Gemara asks the question, is the obligation of a woman to recite birchas hamazon Is that a biblical obligation? Meaning, do they have the same obligation as men? Or perhaps, is it only midrabbanan? Says the Gemara, l'may nafkamina, what would be the difference? Whether it's the Raisa Rabbani, you have to say it. Says the Gemara, l'afuke rabim yidei chovosan. The question is, can a woman say it on behalf of someone else? Meaning that we said before that this whole rule of being an arev, of being responsible for someone else, only applies if that person has the mitzvah. It also only applies if you have the mitzvah. In other words, if I don't have the mitzvah, then I don't have responsibility to someone else's mitzvah. In other words, the whole concept of arvus, the whole concept of that I am responsible, applies. Whatever I'm responsible for, I have to see to it that somebody else has. But if I myself don't have the obligation, then there's no responsibility to somebody else. In other words, it starts with me and it extends to others. That's the concept. So the Gemara here wants to know, do women have the obligation to say Berachas HaMazon? Okay, how would that be relevant? Because let's say you have a situation where you have a man or woman eating, let's say husband and wife eating together, and they had a sandwich, they have to bench, say Berachas HaMazon, and they don't have a bencher. They don't have a bencher and they don't have a smartphone, right? So there's no way to say it. So she knows by heart and he doesn't. Okay, so she says, I'll say it for you. I'll say it out loud. You listen. Okay, so that's all fine and good. But the question is, if she has no obligation, if she doesn't have the same level of obligation to say it that he does, then that should not work. So this is the Gemara's question. So the Gemara, now, why would you say that a woman has no obligation to say Berachas HaMazon? After all, the Torah says V'chalta V'savato V'rachta, right? That if you eat and you be satiated and you bless Hashem. So why should that not apply to women? So Rashi explains, because that's not the end of the pasuk. It says V'chalta V'savato V'rachta Es Hashem Elokecha Al Ha'aretz Hatova Asher Nosan Lach. That you will thank Hashem for this wonderful land that I gave you, meaning for Eretz Yisrael. Right? In other words, a big part of the Berachas HaMazon is that if you look in the text, you'll see a big part of it is thanking Hashem for giving us Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so Rashi says women were not given a share in Eretz Yisrael. When the land was divided up, it was divided up amongst the men. So therefore, one could make the argument that since the pasuk says Al Ha'aretz HaTova Asher Nosan Lach, that for the land that I have given you, and so a woman could say, well, you didn't give it to me. So if you didn't give it to me, then I shouldn't have to say that. Then the first part of the pasuk doesn't apply either. Then I have no obligation to bench. So the truth of the matter is, this is a question. So it's not like one could say, wow, I go home and tell my wife she doesn't have to bench anymore, right? Because at least midrabbanan, in other words, even if you'll say this is true, everybody agrees that from at least on a rabbinic level, you know, there's an obligation for women to say it. But on a Torah level, there might not be an obligation for a woman to say it. Okay, says the Gemara. So the Gemara goes through this whole discussion, and it says that, this is the issue. It says that not l'may nafkamina l'afuke rabim yidei chavosan. I amrit daraisa asi daraisa mapik daraisa. I amrit darabonan habishen mechuyv bedavar, etc. In other words, the Gemara says that if you're going to tell me that a woman has an obligation only midarabonan, but a man has an obligation midaraisa, she can't say it for him because she's not on the same level of obligation that he is. Okay, that's the question of the Gemara. And the Gemara does not resolve this. The Gemara does not resolve this. This remains unresolved. Okay, whether a woman has this obligation or not. Now that being the case, it comes out, an interesting halacha comes out, that like we typically say, in situations where you have a dispute and the Gemara is unresolved, so what do? So, you know, in this case, they had no indications from elsewhere what the halacha would be, and therefore we're machmer. And we are machmer, and therefore a woman really cannot say Berachas HaMazon on behalf of a man. She could say on behalf of a woman, but she cannot say it on behalf of a man unless the man is only obligated to say Berachas HaMazon also midrabbanan. And as how would that be? So, because the Torah says, V'achalta v'savata uveirachta, that you will eat and you will be satiated, and then you will bench. Which means that according to the law of the Torah, Berachas HaMazon only has to be recited if a person is full. If you ate a nice meal and you walk away, oh, I am so satiated, then you have to say Berachas HaMazon. But But let's say a person just had a snack, you know, whatever, he had a sandwich, one sandwich, he was very hungry. One sandwich didn't hold him over. Okay, so I'm hungry still, but I have nothing more to eat. So do you have to say Birch Samazin in that case? So strictly speaking, by the Torah law, you do not. Right? However, the Gemara tells us famously, it's on this page and other places also, that Klal Yisrael was machmir on themselves, that we even say the Birch Samazin for a kezayis. That we, even if a person had a kezayis of bread, that's enough, midrabanan, to say the Birch Samazin. That famous Gemara, Yisa Hashem Panav Eilecha, that's why Hashem shows favor to the Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael goes out of its way to obligate itself in mitzvahs. And therefore, we typically say Birch Samazon even if we just have a kezayis of bread. So a person ate a sandwich of any, you know, any sandwich at all would be a kezayis, presumably, right? So therefore, that would be enough. But that is a chiyuv only midrabbanan. Then it's a different discussion. But if a man has an obligation to say the Birch Samazon midaraisa, the halacha is a woman cannot say it for him. She can't say it. It's important to know this because it comes up sometimes. It comes up that you have a situation. You have no bencher. Right, they don't have a little Birch Samazin thing, right? So the wife says, or whatever, I'll say it for you. So if the man has eaten a full meal, then she cannot say it for him. Yes.
What if he forgot?
So it's suffik, you mean? It's a suffik, but here it would be a suffik d'araisa. You see, the Birch Samazin is a Torah bracha. Most brachas are not. Most brachas are brachas are only midrabbanan. But the notable exception that everyone agrees is Birchas HaMazon. So I don't know. If a man forgot, he probably would, if he's not sure if he said it and he was full, he would have to say over again. So then she couldn't say it for him either. Right? But by most brachas, that's not the case. So Birchas HaTorah is a question, but Birchas HaMazon, everybody agrees. Yes, yes. Yeah.
What about Kohanim Levim?
What about Kohanim Levim? So Tosfos on the side of the page asks exactly this question, right? So Tosfos asks, in other words, we're saying that the reason why a woman should not have to say Birchas HaMazon is because of the fact that Al Haaretz HaTovah Shenosnoloch and women were not given Eretz Yisrael. So Tosfos here, the late in the hour, I won't read the whole thing, but it's the third one on the page, Nashim, right? So Tosfos asks that question. He says, so then Kohanim shouldn't have to bench either. They weren't either given a share in Eretz Yisrael, neither were the Levim. So therefore, so she come, if that's the reason, nobody, you know, a lot of people shouldn't have to say Birch Samazon. So Tosfos offers an alternative explanation he wants to say, because part of the Birch Samazon is that we give thanks to Hashem also for Torah and for Bris. Right? And these mitzvahs are not obligatory upon women, so therefore a woman doesn't even have an obligation to see to it that her son has a Bris. Right? In other words, that's a father's obligation. So therefore, the women are not included in this mitzvah. So therefore, Tulsa says for that reason, that's his reason why women should not be obligated. But by hook or by crook, whatever it is, right, this is machlokas and rishonim, but at the end of the day, women do not have this obligation. Okay, now, I know it's getting late, so I'll try to make this very quick. Okay, an interesting question comes up in the rush. Okay, if you turn to the other sheet and go to page one, side one, whatever you call it. Okay, so the Rush says the following. The Rush asks, I have it underlined, three lines from the bottom. He asks, v'im tomar, ma'ishna behodam rinu l'kamon, that l'hotzi yasachem yidei chavosan ad shiocho kezayis dogon, u'bishir kezayis enu chayav el midrabonon, v'afilu hochi motzi yachem shiocho kidei sviya v'chayavim min ha-Torah. Tosfos asks the following question. Tosfos says that we find that the Gemara says later on in Brachas that a man can say Birchas HaMazon on behalf of another man. All right, now that should not surprise us. Okay, that's fine. They both have the same obligation. However, the Gemara says an additional point. The Gemara says that a man who has only eaten a kezayis can recite the Birchas HaMazon on behalf of a man who has eaten to his satiation point. Meaning that a man who has a chiyuv only midrabbanan can say the Birchas HaMazon on behalf of a person who has a chiyuv to say Birchas HaMazon min HaTorah. Right? So that the Gemara says later, I'm not going to read it, but the Gemara says that later on in Brachos on Daf Mem Ches. The Gemara says such halacha that any man can say Birchas Hamazon for any other man, and you don't have to start asking questions. You don't have to say, hey, how full are you? You know, I'm not so full. I just had a little something. You know, I just had a little, one, you know, two slices of pizza. You know, I'm still hungry. You know, and it looks like, you know, you just walked out of who knows where, and you know, so you don't have to ask any questions. No questions asked. Okay? You can do it. Finish. Right? So the question is, how is that possible? How is that possible? Based on the fact that we're saying that you have to have a similar level of obligation. So says the Rush, a very remarkable thing. So the Rush goes further and says, if that's true, so then what's the whole discussion in the Gemara? The Gemara wants to know, can a woman say Birchas Hamazon for a man? Of course she could. Why shouldn't she be able to? Because of the fact that she's only Midrabanan and he's Min HaTorah? So what? But you find that by two men, where one is Midrabanan and one is Min HaTorah, that the guy who's Midrabanan can say it on behalf of the guy who's Min HaTorah. So if that's considered acceptable, so then it should be acceptable for a woman too. So what's the Gemara? They say, how can I chine it? Whether the Gemara making a noise, they're making everyone crazy with this whole discussion of does a woman have a chiyuv or not? Who cares? What's the difference? Everybody agrees a woman has to say prayer for some Muslim midrabbanan. That there's no argument. So then fine. So then she should be able to say it on behalf of a man too. So the Rush here says, Yesh Lomar, he says here words that shook the world. He says, Yesh Lomar, the lo dummy. He says it's not the same thing. The ish afal gaf shalo ocha klum, even though a man did not eat anything, he says, even if a man did not eat anything, din hu sheyifter es acherim. So then it makes sense, it still would make sense for a man to be able to recite Birchas Hamazon on behalf of another man, even if the first man ate nothing. Why? The kol yisrael arevim zeh bazeh. Right? Really, it's Kol Yisrael Reivim Zeh LaZeh. So I'm responsible. So if somebody didn't say Birchas Hamazon, and I don't need to say Birchas Hamazon, it doesn't matter. I should be able to say it for him because I'm responsible. He has a chiv to say it. He has a chiv to say it, so I can say it for him. He's ate nothing, says the Rush. So why then does the Gemara say I have to have eaten something in order to say it? Says the Rush, Ella, he says, Midrabban and Amru Shleivarchu Birchas Hanen and Below Hanah. So, however, Birchas is interesting. Birchas Hamazon is also considered like a Birchas Hanen. And it's considered the bracha that you say on food after you finished eating it is also in the same treatment as Birchas Hanen. And therefore, you have to have eaten something. Like we said at the outset, you can't say the bracha shakol niyeh bedvaro for somebody if you're not drinking. You can't do that because it's not a full obligation because you didn't have to drink the orange juice. You chose to. So therefore, that's not a full obligation. Right? However, says the Rush, but the fact of the matter is that the rule of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh, that Jews are responsible for each other, that applies. That applies here too. So he says, however, he says, but we'll skip down to the final line of this section, of this paragraph. He says, Avo Isha Eina Bichlau HaArvus. He says, however, this din of Arvus, this concept of one Jew being responsible to another does not apply to women. It doesn't apply to women. It doesn't say why. He just says it doesn't apply to women. And therefore it would come out that a woman could not say it for a man. Because they ain't a b'chal arvus. Women are not included in this arrangement. Why should that be? Unknown. But that's what he says.
Why don't we say the obvious? That's
something else. That's something else. But we're talking here strictly by the letter of the law. No, that's other considerations. No, you're right.
You don't know why. I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. All right. Oh, you want to speculate? Okay. Could be suggesting that possibility. Okay. Maybe. Okay. But the fact of the matter is the Rush doesn't tell us the reason. That much I can tell you. Fine. Okay. The Rush doesn't say the reason. So, putting aside what the reason is, this is pretty scary. Because he just said that, he just said a rule that the women not included in this arrangement, that the responsibility only applies men to men, not men to women. If that's true, then it should come out, it should work reciprocally also. In other words, he's saying, therefore, a woman can't say for a man. But it should come out the other way too, that a man can't say for a woman. Which would mean that if I came home Friday night, I had a real shiloh, Friday nights, you'll say, no one ever has a kiddush and shul on Friday night. Right, so you don't have a problem. Not so simple. Why? Because when you say Shmon Esrei on Shabbos, so you say in the Shmon Esrei of Ma'ariv, you say the bracha of Mekadosh Shabbos, That's the main bracha, the Shmon Esrei on Shabbos. Right? Every man who goes to shul Friday night said that bracha. Now, that bracha constitutes Kiddush Hayom. Right? What's the whole point of Kiddush? The point of Kiddush is to proclaim the sanctity of Shabbos. So if I davened already, I did proclaim the sanctity of Shabbos. So now, why do I have to say Kiddush? So if I live by myself, why do I have to say Kiddush when I come home? The answer is because midrabbanan, there's a rule that you're supposed to say Kiddush on a cup of wine. Kiddush al ayayin is a din zachreu al ayayin, that's a din derabbanan. Okay, so therefore, to totally fulfill my responsibility, I have to say Kiddush again. But I only have a chiyuv now midrabbanan. My wife has a chiyuv min haTorah. Now, if she daven ma'ariv, so good, then she's in the same boat. But most women don't, right? And then, you know, I have a situation where I'm saying Kiddush. How can I say it for her? The Rush just told us that this would be devastating, right? If in fact this is the halacha. So, but it sounds like he's saying that. So, yeah.
Why do you even have to come into Midrabban with the Raisa? To make enough, Mina, if you're not together of Arvis, whether even she has a Midrabban with the Raisa herself.
Yeah.
I can never do it.
No, I'll tell you. Oh, good question. Fine, thank you. The answer is like this. The answer is because if I needed to say it myself, so then the rule of Shomea Ka'one would kick in. Shomea Ka'one doesn't, in other words, I want to make this clear. Shomea Ka'one does not hinge on Arvus. Shomea Ka'one means that if I say a bracha for myself that I need to say, so then a person who listens is as if they said it also. For that you don't need the concept of Kol Yisrael Arei from Zelozeh. That's a simple halachic rule that it's a chiddush, but that rule runs on its own. That if I say something that I needed to say and you hear it and I had in mind to for you also and you had in mind to be Yotze, that's good enough, right? That's good. It's as if you said it, okay? But in a situation where I don't need to say it, I don't need to say it anymore. I made kiddush in shul. I made kiddush. So now you'll say, well, the rabbi said you have to say kiddush on a cup of wine. Okay, what about my wife? My wife has the Zocharas Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsha, the mitzvah in the Torah, and Aseres HaDibros. She has to make kiddush. So what's going to be with that? So how could I say the kiddush on her behalf? So the fact of the matter is, just to cut to the chase, there's a big argument here between two of the Gedolei Achronim. So the Nodeb Yehuda, in his commentary to the Shulchan Aruch, Dogel Miravava, says a remarkable thing. He takes seriously what the Rush said. He takes literally what the Rush said. And he says, yeah, it's not so. You can't do it. You can't do it. So how then can a man say Kiddush for his wife when he comes home from Shul? So he says, the way he says, it could be that most people, when they daven Ma'ariv, don't have in mind that they're fulfilling the mitzvah of Kiddush. Nobody thinks about that. When you're davening Ma'ariv, you just say to Shmon Esrei, you don't have all these fancy thoughts, right? So therefore, hopefully a person should be focused at all on what he's saying, right? But certainly a person doesn't have the in mind that I'm being kind of mitzvah of Kiddush. So therefore, it's like the attitude of a person is that a person, doesn't want to fulfill it when he says Ma'ariv. Okay, some people say, yeah, go ahead.
2 weeks ago when you discussed the repetition of the Shmon Esrei,
yeah.
And then, was it a repetition for the Chazan, or was it the first time for him?
It's what, I don't remember the regard, but let me just finish this, because I have two minutes before everyone turns into a pumpkin.
Oh,
the Chazar Shas was for them. Yeah,
was
yeah.
That a repetition?
Yeah, yeah, no, that was for them, but that's called Yisrael Rem Zelazeth.
So that's
no, no.
Once and then a second.
Yeah, correct. So now, 1 second. Yeah, go ahead.
If you make a halacha with your wife and your kid's not home.
Good, then, same question. This is the same question. Can you say Avdallah? It's the same question. So now, so it happens to be, so notwithstanding what the Nodeb Yehuda said, there isn't the tshuvas of Rabbi Akiva Eger, his accepted opinion. Rabbi Akiva Eger disagrees and says that the Rush didn't mean that. What the Rush said, it may sound that way, but when the Rush said that women are not in Arvus, he doesn't mean that. He just meant in this situation. He didn't mean in general. In other words, in general, the Rush says clearly, the Kivega says clearly that the din of arvus, of mutual responsibility, applies men and women as long as the woman has the same chiv that a man does. In other words, assuming it's a mitzvah, she's obligated. But therefore, and in fact, this is the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, which says very clearly, the Shulchan Aruch says that a woman can, the Shulchan Aruch says in the laws of Kiddush, the Shulchan Aruch says that a woman can even say the Friday night Kiddush on behalf of a man, right? Because of the fact that they have the same obligation. It's a chiyuv min haTorah. So the Mishnah Berurah says that not only is that true, but even if, see that in itself isn't surprising, because for that all you need, just again to review, Shomea Ka'ona, the din, that if I hear somebody say something as if I said it myself, that doesn't rely on this principle of all Jews are responsible. That's simply a Torah rule that listening to somebody say something is as if I said it myself, if I intended that it should be for me too. So that's no problem. But what happens if a woman already made Kiddush and her husband doesn't know? Right? You have today a situation like that, right? The husband is not as religious as the wife, right? So the wife knows she had better education than he did. So therefore she's going to say the Kiddush on his behalf, but she already made Kiddush. So the halacha is, so this will get into this question, because now she doesn't need to say it for herself. So says Rabbi Akiva Eger that notwithstanding what it sounds like the Rosh is saying, the accepted halacha is that a woman has, that the law of Jews are all responsible for each other applies to the same men and women. And therefore a woman could say it, even if she already said Kiddush, she could say it on behalf of her husband. The husband has a chiv, or any other man for that matter. The man has the chiv, and she could say it. And this is the din of this is how we paskin. There's a lot more to say about this, but we're out of time. But the fact is that this is something which comes up. So therefore, a person has to just take into consideration various factors when it comes to saying brachas to somebody else. So in short, if you're saying a bracha not on food, a bracha on a mitzvah, and you need to say that bracha yourself, then you could say it on behalf of any other person. Even you don't need the rule of Kol Yisrael Revim Zelazeh, because that's Shomei Ka'oneh. Whoever hears it, it's as if they said it themselves. The question comes up, if you already said it, like Havdalah, right? So I already made Havdalah. So I have to make Havdalah again? So now, when it comes to Havdalah, so the rule would be like this. For a man could say Havdalah again a second time for this reason. There is a question in the Gemara, the question in the Poskim, whether a woman has a chiyuv to make Havdalah. Because the exception that a time-oriented mitzvah, a woman is obligated, we said Shabbos is one of the exceptions, there's a question if that, it surely applies to Kiddush. There is a question if it applies to Havdalah too. So there are those that say it does not, and therefore technically a woman has no chiyuv to say Havdalah. That being the case, if a man said Havdalah and his wife did not yet hear Havdalah, he thought she was by a friend and he thought she heard it there, and it always happens, right? Oh, I thought you were going to wait for me, whatever, the whole discussion, right? So the reality is that in that situation, the woman should say it herself. The woman should say it, so a man should not say it, because the question whether a woman has that chiv. So if a woman does not have that chiv, so then everybody agrees that the rule Kol Yisrael or Eben Zelazeh doesn't apply. In other words, the rule that I'm responsible for somebody else only if they're responsible. But if they're not responsible, they don't have the chiyuv, so then I have no chiyuv to say it for them either. So in that situation, so Kiddush is no question. A person can say it for the wife can say it for the husband, no problem, even if they did it already. Right? But when it comes to Havdalah, it's different. Havdalah, for a man, you could say Havdalah again. But a man for a woman should not say it, and so too a woman should not say Havdalah for a man. In other words, because, same issue, because even if she chooses to say it, she says, I want to be machmir. Okay. That's fine. You can do that. It's no different than saying a bracha on a lulav. You know, they're not chayav to shake a lulav either, but they have the right to do so. Ashkenazim. Hold. Right? But to go say it for a man who doesn't have a chiyuv, that you cannot. Okay. Yes.